Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky. Today we have a really wonderful guest, a person who I had a great opportunity of meeting in Israel and in Europe recently, Tomer Orni, who is the CEO, the Chief Executive Office of the European Jewish Union. And there's so much going on. I can't wait to actually start talking. Tomer, how are you?
Thank you very much, Steve. It's good to be with you. And hi to everyone.
You know, I guess, you know, we're going to start, even though the program is always not really time sensitive, and we're going to talk more about Europe, but this is the day after the terrible tragedy in France. I know you've been involved in it and issued a press release. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you know about it, maybe that we don't know.
To be honest, most of the details are out there. The bottom line is that three kids were murdered, brutally murdered, and a rabbi, Jonathan Sendler. The kids were 3, 6, and 8 years old. This is a terrible, terrible thing. Jewish blood spilled in Europe deliberately by someone who pulled the trigger, murdering kids just because they're Jewish. It brings us back to terrible memories in Europe. It is indeed a very tough time for us.
No question about that. That's how we feel about it here, as we've read about the articles also. So what exactly, I mean, I know that even here in the States, they're supposedly putting everybody on high alert, but what does it mean for the European Jewish community, and how is it going to change anything?
As you know, Steve, Europe varies. Many countries, the EU itself is comprised of 27 countries, plus many other countries in Central and Eastern Europe and beyond. Different circumstances, different security structures, and different level of alert by the government. What we say day in, day out, to the various governments is that you are responsible for the well-being and the safety of the Jewish population within your country. France, we can see that by the reaction of President Sarkozy, is very much both alerted and responsive. Unfortunately, does not change the fact that Jewish blood was spilt, and that someone could easily, in a normal day, in a normal sunny day, pull the trigger and kill three Jewish kids with Jonathan Sendler, the 30-year-old rabbi.
And what do you think the reaction of the person on the street is to this? And once again, like you said, there are so many different countries. There are 27 different countries, so you can't give a generalization. But the people on the street, I mean, how do they react to this?
The average, so to speak, Jew in Europe is constantly aware of anti-Semitism, whether it's a good old-fashioned, so to speak, anti-Semitism rooted in medieval days, Europe and before, or the new face of anti-Semitism in Europe, meaning the anti-Zionism. When I say that the average Jew in Europe is aware of that, I say that because we experience that different but similar to what you experience in America on different aspects of the daily life, when the young adult is experiencing this at the campus, or a shul or a cemetery is being sabotaged. It's always there, but in most Western European countries, and France is a leading country on that, it is being contained and dealt with by both the governmental arms and authorities, I mean, and the complementary structures. What we have experienced yesterday is abnormal, and that's why we have called on the government of France, as well as the EU, to immediately look again into its structures, immediately look again into the measures that are being put in place in order to make sure that something like this will never, ever, ever happen again.
But what would you expect them, Tomer? What would you expect them to actually do? I mean, it's so hard to contain something like this, one person in a motorcycle targeting a Jewish school. I mean, it's very difficult. Even the most well-meaning government, what do you actually expect them to do?
We expect them to deal with the roots of these things. Of course, when it comes to security, we all know that there is never 100% security. But what we do know is that if we start dealing with the roots of anti-Semitism, then dealing with the things that are much softer than what we have experienced yesterday could be and are probably the best preventive measures possible. So if we see anti-Semitism rallies, and if we see neo-Nazi rallies that are not being confronted head-on by governments, then we should not be surprised that much more brutal acts are developed. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Last Friday, in Riga, the capital of Latvia, there was a Nazi rally, give or take 2,000 participants in that shameful act. We, the European Jewish Union and the European Jewish Parliament, we were there on the ground with the local community to stand up against these guys. But when our guys were physically attacked, the police didn't do much. So it's this kind of things that one either look the other way or do not deal with heads on that perhaps leads later to much more harsh circumstances and results.
So you're saying they've got to get down to the root of the problem and try to deal with it at that level before it manifests itself to, you know, unfortunately, what we saw yesterday in France. Now, if you look at the countries in Europe, which ones would you say probably are the ones which the most problematic?
The eastwards you move on the map, the more problematic it is. I just gave an example of a country which is a part of the EU, that Latvia. It is part of the 27 countries comprising the European Union, and still the legislation there is much weaker than in countries such as France, Great Britain, Germany, and other Western European countries. So a thumb rule would be that the Eastern countries are weaker when it comes to legislation and action on the ground against old and new forms of anti-Semitism. But we also have to remember that the European countries vary not just by language. They differ from each other by the demographic nature of the population. And different countries have different types of anti-Semitism. The sad thing about the horrible thing that happened in France yesterday is that France is a country that has relatively very developed legislation on anti-Semitism and a very attentive and alerted government towards these issues. But as mentioned, 100% security, perhaps we will never reach. It's the preemptive measures that should be in place.
And what do you think this person who they know about, I mean, was he acting alone, or do they believe he was part of a group? What's the thought right now?
We still do not know, as a fact, who stands behind this. There are rumors, there are pieces of information, there are different reports. Whether the killer acted alone or was it part of a bigger group, whether these guys are fascist or neo-Nazi ex-French army military guys, to be honest, it doesn't matter. Whether they come from this group or the other, whether this guy acted alone or not, the bottom line is that we've witnessed a brutal attack on a Jewish school where Jews got killed, murdered, just because they're Jewish. The fact that the killer might have attacked other groups of and other populations in France and acted because of this or that motive, for us, doesn't mean anything. The bottom line is that Jews were killed.
Right. Listen, no question, Tomer. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy, one that we feel here, you know, in the States. But as you said, you know, Europe, this is not something new to Europe and to European Jewry. So let's talk a little bit about the state of the Jewish people in Europe. And, you know, you say it, you know, it moves from west to east and so on. What's the total population today of the Jewish world in Europe?
At the European Jewish Union, we look at the numbers of European Jewry at around 3 million people, including Western, Central, and Eastern Europe, including the former Soviet Union countries.
Okay, so it includes the former Soviet Union, 3 million Jews, which would make it an incredibly large, I mean, you know, if you look at Israel with 6 or 7 million, America with 5.5 to 6 million, that kind of gets Europe right there. So it's a really large population, and as you said, you know, different countries right now are dealing, you know, with you know, the Jewish population differently. Are there positive signs that you're seeing about Jewish life in Europe, and is it sustainable for the next 2-3 generations, or what do you think is going to happen to it?
This is a very good question, Steve, and the answer is not necessarily a straightforward one. Let's put it this way. The European Jewry is the third pillar of world Jewry. That's a fact. As you mentioned, it's the third largest community. The history, both the good and bad history that we have as a people in Europe, is well known to all of us. The Jewish culture, the Jewish heritage that we have as a people in Europe is only second to probably the one we have in Israel.
Right.
But also at the same time, it bears some of the greatest tragedy of our people is also in Europe, and when we speak frankly, and since it's only you and me listening to this, so we can talk freely. The European soil is soaked with Jewish blood. That's a fact. But at the same time, it was the cradle of fantastic cultural and spiritual renaissance for the Jewish people for centuries. So that's a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
The trends that characterizes the European Jewry in recent years are very interesting, and it's probably one of the most interesting territories when it comes to Jewish life. I will mention, with your permission, I will mention a sure. few of the trends that European Jewry is experiencing. Probably the most prominent trend and phenomena that European Jewry have experienced in the last 20 years is the East moving West trend. After the collapse of the former Soviet Union, hundreds of thousands of Russian-speaking Jews migrated to Central and Western Europe. Of course, large numbers made Aliyah to Israel and moved to America and Canada and Australia, etc. But large numbers migrated within Europe towards Western Europe.
So you're saying, talking about primarily now, is Germany really the most, the country that's seen the greatest growth?
Exactly that, Steve. Germany is the epicenter of this phenomena, where a very small community in the 90s, probably around 15 or 20,000 Jews living in Germany in the early 90s, we now see around 200,000 Jews in Germany.
200,000 Jews in Germany. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, more than this number, more than 200,000 migrated from the former Soviet Union to Germany with visa related to either being Jewish or a descent of Jews, with a Jewish descent.
So now, would Germany be the fastest growing country in Europe for Jews at this point?
Without any doubt, that was the
really?
Case. The numbers have fallen down. The yearly numbers of migrants, Jews who move from former Soviet Union countries to Germany, the numbers have dropped dramatically in the last few years. But Germany was the fastest growing Jewish community in Europe, and probably one of the fastest growing Jewish communities in the world in terms of percentage, which made it the third largest Jewish community in Western Europe after France and Britain.
And what is the status of, let's say, anti-Semitism in Germany now? I mean, officially and unofficially.
Let's put the facts on the table. Anti-Semitism exists in Germany and in almost every other European country, whether it's East, Central, or Western Europe. The German government is acting heads-on, is taking heads-on the anti-Semitism phenomena, but it's out there. Every now and then, it lifts up its head, and this is a built-in structure, a built-in component. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's embedded within Europe's modus vivendi and modus operandi, and it was Joschka Fischer, who was then at the time the German foreign minister, when he was asked, Mr. Fischer, do we have anti-Semitism in Germany? And his reply was very simple. He said, just go out to the street, look at the nearest shul or Jewish school, see the amount of security there's outside the premises to protect the visitors, and give yourself an answer whether there's anti-Semitism or not. For mm-hmm. as long as right. we will need to implement security, anti-Semitism is there. With the European Jewish Union is dealing with this as a priority. We've for the first time the European Jewish Union has a special team dealing with fighting anti-Semitism in Europe, and what we are doing is on the one hand monitoring and piling up the list of active anti-Semites in Europe, so that there will be a proper database of people who are active anti-Semites in Europe, in both East Central and Western Europe. We do this by being in touch with the various authorities, so of course the communities, media channels, and the other information outlets. And we are compiling what is today probably one of the most relevant databases on this. But at the same time, we are seriously looking into prosecuting and bringing to justice some of these people to create deterrence and to create the awareness of both the general population and our people on this matter. We've established a special task force on this, and they're working hard.
Mm-hmm. And do you think they'll be successful?
I think we will.
Well, certainly needed. There's no question about it. There's so much more to talk to you about, Tomer. Unfortunately, our time is up, and we're going to talk to you somewhere in the future about other areas of the European Jewish Union, work that you're doing, the phenomenal work that you're doing, and the entire structure of what's going on in Europe today. Unfortunately, you know, we've been really predominantly talking about what happened and anti-Semitism, what else is going on. But we want to thank you so much for being on the program, at least enlightening our listening audience as to what's going on in Europe. And thank you so much for what you're doing on the part of the EJU and your position as the CEO. Hatzlacha rabba to you and everything you and your staff do. And we hope you'll be successful. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Steve. And I would like to take this opportunity and to wish all our American brethren the best of health and Hatzlacha. Thank you very much for this. I think you're doing an amazing job. And I would just ask your listeners to check out the JN1.TV. That's the 24/7 Jewish news channel that we have launched a few months ago.
Right. Great idea. Say it again so that everybody can hear it. I saw it myself. What is it again, Tomer?
It's called Jewish News One, and you can go online to JN1, the number one, JN number one, JN1.TV. There's a live stream. If you don't get it via the satellite, you can go online. It's a 24/7 Jewish news channel, the first ever that brings news in a more balanced way, both regarding the Middle East, of course, Israel, and general news from around the world.
Fantastic. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Okay, be well. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve.